Welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. This is Derek. We're honored that you're joining us today. Man, we're going to be looking at a topic that is near and dear to our heart. We're going to be starting a new series that's entitled Higher, and it's really rooted in what we looked at a few weeks ago, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, where the Lord is saying that his ways and his thoughts are higher. But he's not saying that to keep them from us. He actually wants to give us his ways and his thoughts. And so today, we're going to look at the scriptures and we're going to see what does it look like to actually live in the ways and the thoughts of God. And so grab your Bible, grab your pen, grab your notebook. Let's take some notes and let's dig into the truth of God. I'm just going to ask these guys to play just a little bit longer. Oh man, I just feel like a couple things are going on in the room. One, does anybody else just sense the spirit of unity in the room this morning? Like, it's really beautiful. And the Lord just reminded me, even just as they were singing this song, that the church is the community that's supposed to give hope to the world, to show a world that in a room filled with different perspectives politically, different socioeconomic experiences, different education, different ages, different ethnicities, different backgrounds, that this diverse group of people can gather in a room and be unified under the name of Jesus. And so I just want to honor that in the room. I just feel like there's a sweet, sweet spirit of unity in the room today. And then just want to speak into just something that I feel like the Lord was showing me at our 9 a.m. gathering. As we were singing, I just felt like he showed me a picture of his arm coming into the room from heaven and saying that he wanted to deposit hope today. And I love the, Melissa, your testimony earlier down here. Oh my goodness, what a hopeful testimony of all these different situations. And yet, God was in the midst of all of it. And we know God is the God of what? He's the God of hope. That's what the scriptures teach us. And we've so beautifully reminded ourselves that we're not inviting God's presence in here. We know he's here. We're just inviting really ourselves to be aware of him and for him to have his rule and reign. And so that means in any situation where you find yourself hopeless today, if we could shift our perspective and our mind to the truth is that God is present. And if God is present, that means hope is really nearer than you can imagine. And so if today that's you, like, I just want to pray over you. Maybe you just want to put your hand on your heart if you're like, man, I need hope today in a certain situation. I just want to pray a blessing over you, that you would recognize the God who is hope, that he would today deposit hope even in you right now as we ask him. So just take a second. If that's you today, just say, Lord, I need hope in this situation. So generous. So God, we recognize you as the God of hope. You are hope. And you are present in every circumstance that every single person in this room and beyond is in. And that means that hope is literally with us everywhere, everything we navigate. So Lord, would you raise our head up? Would you help us to see that you are present, that you are with us? Even in suffering, you suffer with us. In pain, you shed tears with us. In loss, you know exactly what that feels like. In celebration, you give us high fives and dance with us. So Lord, would you today, as the one who gives hope, would you deposit hope deep down in us? And may the stories that we've already heard today, the testimony, the songs, and the fact that we're not alone here today, what a gift. We're in community today. What hope that is. So I just release your hope and we just say yes, Lord. And so just right now, just if that's you today, just say, Lord, I receive your hope. I receive your hope, Lord. Amen, amen. As you're, before you sit down on your right, turn to the person on your right and say, we need you. Right now, turn to the person on your right. Say, we need you. And now turn to the person on the left. Here's the good one. Turn to the person on the left and say, you need me. You need me. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Man, the kingdom of God, it is connection. Amen. Man, isn't it beautiful just to be in a community that you're like, wow, like we feel together? Isn't that so much better than what the world tries to offer? Like, man, I'm telling you, the world is hungry, hungry, hungry to see and experience and actually have a model for what unity looks like. Not in conformity, but in our diversity to gather together. Gather together and to value one another, to recognize the beauty of God. And And yeah, it is so good to be with you today. My name is Derek. For those of you that are visiting with us today, welcome. Welcome. Hope you feel two things. Number one, that you feel seen and loved. We pray that all the time for our community, whether this is your first time gathering or you've been here, I think we're almost at 45 years as a church, whether that's you from the very beginning. We hope you feel loved and seen, but even more importantly than that today, we hope that you recognize that you've been in the presence of a living God. This community is not surrounding a platform, a pastor, a band, a vision. We are a community that endeavors to be a people that recognize his presence and partner with him. And so that's our prayer for you today. I hope you had a good week and that parents, that you enjoyed maybe a deep breath as your kids are back in school. It was a good week in our home, and it is good to be with you guys. Today, I want to start a new series of messages as we break from the summer. I know summer's over, it's crazy, and we lean into the end of summer and the fall. And I want to look at a gathering of discussions around this concept of higher. That's the title of the next couple months, higher. And as I was praying, God, what do you want us to go after? What do you want us to, as a community, lean into? What do you want me to teach? You know, what part of the Bible? What, is there something it's on your heart? And I felt like, man, I had like a lot of things and I'm writing a bunch of things down. And every time I would try to like move forward with something, I felt like the Lord kept pulling me back to Isaiah 55. And I'm like, Jesus, like, I didn't say it like a bad way. I was like, Jesus, not like that. I came across a little odd there. Jesus. Public speaking is hard, people. Jesus. I was praying, people, okay? I was praying. And I said, like, I just taught this 2 weeks ago, like, the whole thing. And I felt like he just kept, every time I would try to go another direction, it was like, no, there's something more in Isaiah 55 that I have for the Christ Fellowship community. And so as I was praying, as I was reading the scripture and reading chapter 55 over and over again, I felt like he really leaned into verse 8 and 9 and say, man, there's some things I want to teach this community and beyond what it means to ascend. What it means to not settle for the way things have always been, what it means to not just go into and buy into the systems of this world, the thinkings of this world, but to actually think higher and to live at a higher level. And this is exactly what Isaiah 55 says. It says this, verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher," there it is, "than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." Higher. The Lord's inviting us higher to ascend. And I shared this a couple weeks ago, but really what we see here is that the Lord is making it clear, yes, his ways and his thoughts are much higher, but here's what we see in the context of Isaiah 55 is that he longs to give us his ways and his thoughts. He's not holding back on us saying, man, I got these thoughts, I got these ways. If you only could like crack the code. He's like, no, will you come to me? Remember 55 is an invitation. Come to me, listen, hear that your soul may live. It's an invitation. Come to me, I want you to know my thoughts. And I want you to know my ways. He's not a greedy God holding out on him. He actually is a very generous God. And he wants you to experience abundant life. And he says, so come to me. I want to give you these things. And we know that because the very next verse, I love the picture. Like when I read this, immediately our mind, our imagination starts playing. And we think that he says, immediately after, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your ways. Verse 10 says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven. He immediately gives us a picture of things falling from heaven to earth. And he goes on to say, and so it is with the word that I speak, that it falls from heaven to earth and it does not return void. And he's really, really locking in this idea that he doesn't want heaven and the rule and reign of God, the thoughts of God, the system of God, he doesn't want them to just stay in heaven. Do you know that? Like God's desire is not just to get you to heaven. Like that's not the goal. That's like we're gonna be in, and that's a weird theological thing, but yeah, we have eternity with God. But God's desire today for the earth is that there would be more and more heaven on the earth. Is anybody else with me, right? It's not just, Lord, can I hang on and then one day I'm gonna escape and be in heaven? No, that's not what Jesus modeled. It's not what he taught us. No, he says, I want you to pray like this. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done when I die and go to heaven. No. When I'm on a cloud playing the harp, playing like the cello. Oh, that would be so good if I could play like that. It would be heaven on earth right there. But no, what's he say? Your kingdom come, your will be done where? On where? In the Tri-Cities? In your home? At your place of work? In the presence of your enemy? When you're all alone, you feel like you're all alone? On earth as it is what? In heaven. You know what has to happen? Heaven has to fall down like rain and like snow. And when we receive it, his word, his voice, like Jamie was talking about, the seeds that the seed thrower's throwing out, they come down and they can really go bing, bing. Anybody else remember that last week? Bing, 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 bing. I just thought about when I used to shoot BBs last when I was a little kid. But instead of the bing, we want to say yes, right? And so the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at different topics and different ideas that I feel like the Lord is saying, hey, stop thinking so low. Stop thinking like the world thinks. I want to see a people that are willing to ascend to think the thoughts of God. I want to see a people that aren't just satisfied with just getting by and trying to work the systems of this world, the ways of the world, but I want to see a people that are willing to ascend to do things and live and actually change systems on the earth that it would be more like heaven. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a variety of topics that will stretch us, will challenge us, and will root us in what God says about his thoughts and his ways. But before we do that, I want to set a foundation and I want to talk about how do we actually live into these thoughts and ways? What does it look like for us not to just to gather on a Sunday, but what does it look like for actually to live into the ways of God that are higher and to actually to embody and embrace the thoughts of God which are higher than ours? And so I put together just a few thoughts from the scriptures of how we can actually practically do this. I made it as practical as possible, even though like the first one I'm gonna share is very impractical, all right? But hopefully this is gonna help give some context of how in the world do we live out Isaiah 55, the invitation, all right? So the first thing I want you to know, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this. If we're going to walk in the ways of God and know the thoughts of God, we've gotta recognize that we need the Holy Spirit. Yes, amen, somebody back there, amen, right? The Holy Spirit is not optional when it comes to seeing heaven become a reality on the earth. It's not. And I'm so grateful that we are a community where we lift up the Father. We love the Father. We believe that the Father has incredible things. The scriptures make it clear that the Father loved the world so much. And so we love the Father. We love Jesus. Anybody else love Jesus in the house today, right? We love Jesus here. We believe that he came to make a way so that we could be connected fully to the Father. We could live without shame and fear and guilt and all this beautiful thing that he would bring us into right relationship with the Father. And if you haven't experienced that, listen, I'm gonna tell you, you can experience that today. We would love to pray with you, but Jesus has come to show us not only to make the way, but to show us what the way looks like. Jesus is the second Adam. That means he actually shows us what it looks like to be a human being fully connected to the God while walking the earth. He models for us what does it look like to know the thoughts of God and the ways of God as you walk the earth. Jesus does this, and so we love Jesus. But here at the church also, I'm so glad that we're a community where we welcome and embrace the Holy Spirit. We recognize how important the Holy Spirit is for us to live out the scriptures, to actually understand the scriptures. And I love that in the church that we welcome the fullness of what the scriptures teach us about the Holy Spirit. I love 1 Corinthians 12, the spiritual gifts. I love all that, right? The words of knowledge, the words of wisdom, healing, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, discernment of spirit, all of that. I love that. And by the way, that's not the exhaustive list. That's just a representative list. It's not all, but we believe that God does all of that. We believe that God still does miracles, signs, and wonders. And we've seen many of those at the church. That's why tomorrow night we're gonna gather in this room and we're gonna pray for the sick. Do you know why we're praying for the sick? Because the Bible says to. Wow. It's not that you don't want to. No, actually, the Bible actually tells us to pray for the sick all throughout. And actually, it's what Jesus did. And so we are actually going to gather together and we're going to pray for the sick. And we've seen so many people healed. Incredible, like, things all over the world. We've seen relationships healed. We've seen all kinds of things. So we believe that God does these. The Holy Spirit is incredible. But what's, I think, more important than the power things, which, by the way, I want more of that in my life. Anybody else want more power in their life? I do. I want that more in our community. But what's more important, I think, than the power things that God does, the Holy Spirit does, is what we see Jesus tell us that the Holy Spirit's going to do. This is John 16. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide. Oh, last week, talking about the guide. He will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So I love the power. I love the miracle signs and what I love all that. But that's only part of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. I think the most important thing that the Holy Spirit does is he guides us, he directs us, and he tells us what the Father thinks. This is what we sing. And so as I was praying about this last night, I just had this picture of a delivery truck and somebody getting out of the delivery truck with a dolly, I think they're called a dolly, and delivering things. And I felt like the Lord was saying that the Holy Spirit is the delivery service from heaven to earth. This is exactly what Jesus said. This is in Derek. This is how God speaks to me, by the way, in pictures. But he said right here that he'll take what is true in heaven, and what do? He will keep it to himself? No, he says he will actually bring it and give it to the people of God. He will take the things that are spoken in the heavenlies, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He'll take what he hears, and he'll what? He'll bring it to earth, and he'll release it because they weren't ready then, but now we're ready. So the Holy Spirit is the one that brings delivery. He takes what's true in heaven, and he offers it to the earth, right? So he's really like the logistic service of heaven to earth is the Holy Spirit. Essential if we want to see heaven on earth. And then John 14, it says, he's also the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. So when we're thinking about knowing the thoughts of God and knowing the ways of God, it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to actually understand God's thoughts. Paul says, who searches the depths of God? He says, the Spirit of God does. And he said, you have been given the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. So you and I, we can know the thoughts of God. We can know the ways of God. How? Through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I think there's a lot of areas that we could go and discuss, but what I love about the Spirit is that there's a promise in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are sealed by the Spirit. Anybody else sealed by the Spirit of God at salvation? Anybody else here believe? Yeah, come on, a couple of you guys, yeah, okay. But here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. We are sealed at salvation, but we're commanded to actually continually walk with the Spirit. When I recognize the beauty of Jesus, when I recognize the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus, like that's an incredible moment when I yield to him and say, Lord, I trust you. Here I am. I want to walk with you. When I do that, that's sealed with the Spirit. And there is an inheritance that is waiting for me. I can't wait to find out what that inheritance really is. I know that I'm sealed for a future inheritance. But then the scripture makes it very clear to actually walk on this earth, I'm called to not just be sealed, but to walk by the Spirit. How many know those are very two different things? I'm sealed with the Spirit. Lord, forgive me of my sins. I receive your love. Sealed forever. Done. You're in. But then the scriptures invite us to say, no, no, no. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk by the Spirit of God. I want you to learn how to be aware of the Spirit of God. I want you to tune your ear to the voice of the Spirit of God. And here's what I know about walking with the Spirit. It requires us to not only be aware, but then it requires a willingness to yield to his leading. And I don't know about you, but that can be really tough. I like what I like. And I believe what I believe. And yet, we're called to walk by the Spirit. And let me just make sure this is clear. God is inviting us to adjust to him. He's not giving us liberty for him to adjust to us. He's saying, Derek, let's walk this way. I want to teach you some things. Let's walk this way. And he says, hey, adjust to me. I'm going to run. Let's run. Let's run together. Hey, you want to stop? Let's stop right now. Now, the beautiful thing is when we say no, he doesn't just run on apart from us. You know what he does? He sits there with us and says, okay, I'll wait for you. I'm patient. I'll wait for you. And the invitation is always there. Adjust to me. You're going to walk with the Spirit. You got to adjust to me. You got to lay down your life, lay down your desires, and follow me. This is what Jesus teaches us. And that really sets up two. For the number one, if we're going to walk in the ways of God and know the thoughts of God, it requires the Holy Spirit. The number two thing that's so important and so overlooked in today's Christianity is humility. If you and I are going to pursue and desire to know the ways of God and the thoughts of God, I'm telling you, it begins with humility. I love how Proverbs 3, it's one of my favorite Proverbs from the wisdom literature. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. He says, do not lean on your own understanding. Listen, if you and I are going to pursue the ways of God and thoughts of God, it's going to require us to change. And we don't like change, do we? Most of us don't like change. It requires us to adjust to God. It requires us right here. It says, turn from the ways that you thought were right in order to come into agreement. Let me tell you, that takes humility. It takes humility. And what I found out in my own life is that I can't or we can't receive when we act like we have no needs. See, we celebrate in this country individualism and, you know, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and I built that and all that. And there's some really great things buried in there. But when it comes to God, he's not looking for tough superhero rogue rangers. He's looking for people that will say, I need help. I need you. I need to know your thoughts. I need to know your ways. I'm struggling. And until we get to the place of humility where I say, God, I need help, we're not going to be able to receive the ways of God or the thoughts of God, because we can't receive if we don't even recognize our need. And what I've recognized with humility and what I've learned sometimes some very difficult ways is that humility enables us to ask questions. And I would say for you, like, this is a great test for you right now, like, to think about this. I think it's a test of maturity and faith, and it's a test of humility, is are you a person that asks questions or do you always have the right answer? When I'm looking for a mentor or somebody to speak into my life and I'm looking out, people, and what I'm looking for, honestly, the number one thing I'm looking for in somebody who's going to speak into my life is humility. And here's how you can know if the person that you are wanting to mentor you or to coach you or just come alongside, disciple you, whatever word you want to use to speak life into you. Here's one of the ways I found that you can know if that person's a right fit. When you sit down for coffee with that person, if all they do is talk about themselves, they're not going to be a good mentor for you. Somebody say amen to that, right? There's no humility. But what I look for and what I strive to be as a leader and as somebody who comes alongside people, I want in my life, I want somebody who sits down and immediately that person starts asking me real questions. And questions and questions and questions. And so I would say take a moment and just think, man, like, what's your relationship with God look like? Is it more you telling God or does it look more like you asking questions? Because God loves to lift up the humble, lift up higher, but he what? He opposes the proud. So the walk of humility is how, I think, as we walk with the Spirit of God, as we humble ourselves, that we're able to actually receive from God. The third one is something that we talk about here a whole lot, and that is hearing. Hearing. And I want to just take a moment to break this down, because I had a conversation with one of my kids about a year ago. And they were in our kids' ministry, and they came home, and one of my kids said, man, I can't hear God. And I was like, what do you mean, buddy? He's like, I can't, like I don't literally, like, hear God speak to me. I'm like, guess what? I don't either. He's like, what? you talk about hearing all the time. He's like, but I don't hear God. I'm like, yeah, you're right. There are so many ways to hear God. And so I just want to like lay this to rest a second. When we talk about hearing God, we do not mean this is God. This is the Lord. That's not what we're talking about. Hearing God is the terminology we use to be aware that God is speaking to us in many different ways. So let me just give you a couple examples of ways that God speaks. To me personally, when I'm praying and when I'm asking the Lord, and when God speaks to me, it's usually in pictures. Like I'll have a clear picture of something, and in that picture, the Lord just begins to speak to me in that and highlight different things. And that's typically, I'm very visual with the Lord. That's how it is. We've got other people in our community that when we're worshiping here on a Sunday morning, the Lord speaks to them. He actually shows them the unseen world, which is crazy to me. I'm like, Lord, why didn't I get that one? But like they can see like spiritually what's going on. I don't understand it. It's one of those signs that make you wonder, right? It's like, wow, that's interesting. But I love it, right? And it's so cool. And then we got other people in the church, like when they're praying and they're asking the Lord questions, they almost have like a movie reel showing in their mind. Some of our friends here at the church, when they're asking the Lord questions, they actually see words in their mind. They see words pop up. Like there are so many ways that God speaks. And so as a community, we want to grow more and more in just the awareness that, man, God doesn't just speak in one way. The way he speaks to me may not be the way he speaks to you. And so what do we want to do? We want to be a student of how God speaks. This is actually what Jesus, he was a rabbi, right? And so we had these men that were following him. What were they doing? They were learning his ways. And so you and I, we have a rabbi still. Jesus, we want to learn his ways. That requires us to be a student of God. Let me just tell you practically how that works at our church here, one way. When we have our gatherings here on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., you know, we have our singing and prayer and announcements and preaching and closing, all that happens. After that's done, a small group of us meet upstairs in one of our prayer rooms, and we just ask some real simple questions. We say, God, together in community, we say, God, where did we sense you? God, was there anything that you were really putting your finger on that we felt like the Spirit was really highlighting? And then we say, God, how can we partner with you at the 11 a.m. gathering? And what are we doing? In community, we're learning the ways of God. We're learning the ways God works. And that takes humility, but it also requires an awareness of God. And so I would encourage you, even today, just think about like right now. How does God speak to you? How does God engage with you? How does he connect with you? We want to be a people that continually listen to God. And that requires us a couple things. It requires us to be intentionally present. It requires us to be aware, to look for what God is doing, to listen for what he is saying. So the Holy Spirit is key in this whole thing. Then we want to be a people that humble ourselves and recognize, man, there's needs we have. We need his wisdom at work, at school, and in our homes, with our families. And then we say, man, we want to hear God. What is your perspective? What do you want us to know? And then we actually intentionally look for what God is saying. And then the last piece is my favorite because I'm a very action-oriented person. I don't like just talking about philosophy and like all those things and just theology out here. But the last step is really great, and this will get some of you fired up. The last step is action. Take a step. Faith, right? Take a step. Like we don't want to be a people that, man, we love the Holy Spirit. Woohoo, yay. We humble ourselves. And then Lord, we say, what are you saying? And then when we hear him, we don't do anything with it. Listen, the goal of hearing is, or the goal is not just to hear God. That's not the goal. The goal is to hear God and to obey God. Somebody say amen to that, right? This is what James says. It's the last passage I'll look at. James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, be doers of the word. Everybody say doers. It doesn't say be readers. Be memorizers. It doesn't say that, does it? It says be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Isn't that interesting? So you're deceiving yourself if you hear what the voice of the Lord is saying and you don't do it. You're deceiving yourself. And then he gives a picture of that. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what it was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his what? Say it again. He will be blessed in his what?
Doing.
Wow, revelation. So let me just make it real clear. We believe that faith is when we receive grace by faith. It's not anything you can do. It's not any of your good works. It's not you coming to church. It's not you leading a small group. None of that got you into a relationship with God. Can we all just say amen to that, right? It's by faith. What a gracious gift it is. Oh my goodness. It's amazing. Jesus came to do it all. He died on the cross. He raised from the dead. He says, now will you receive it? Will you walk with me? I made the way. Walk in it. But I want you to know that right after that, he says, you are created for good works, to actually do things, not sit in a church seat and read your Bible and never take action. If you and I want to live in the ways of God, experience the ways of God, experience the thoughts of God, listen, it takes us activating our faith to actually do something with it. And the picture that I kept having was this path, and I felt like the Lord was saying that hearing is the path to experiencing God. Obedience is the gate to experiencing God. Hearing God's voice, man, it is essential. It is so necessary for me to walk the path. And that path is leading me to encounter God, to experience God, to partner with God. But that gate that's between me hearing God and me experiencing God is obedience. Stepping out, taking action, stepping out in faith. And the prayer I pray all the time for you guys, and it may be kind of be a little weird for you because I envision you guys and I'm praying, and I always pray this, Lord, give us big ears. As I'm praying for you guys, like I see like massive, like dopey ears, like massive, like down to your shoulders. Lord, give us big ears. I don't stop there though, because that would only be partial. I say, Lord, would you give our community massive ears so that we can hear you and a heart to obey you? Hearing positions us to obedience. And it's in obedience that we actually experience God. It's where the blessing is. And so I just want to share this one example as we close up today of experience of hearing versus stepping out. And I've shared before in my mid-20s, it's really when I encountered the Lord. And I was at church one time. My wife and I were at church in Ohio, and kind of new to faith a little bit, new to the Holy Spirit for sure. And we're sitting there, or standing there in a worship service singing, and I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit, not Derek, not that voice, but like this nudge, go pray for the guy in the front row. It was go pray for the guy in the front row. And so like any good Christian man, I'll be like, I'll pray for him right here. And I begin to pray for him. Lord, bless this man. I don't know what's going on in his life, but Lord, just bless him. It was really a deep, holy prayer. And then I felt like the Lord said, no, I said, go pray for him. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll pray out loud right here for him. So I began, everybody's singing so nobody can hear me. And so I'm praying out loud for this guy. Lord, just bless this guy. I don't know what's going on. And just felt, once again, the unction of the Spirit. No, I said, go pray for this man. And I don't know if you've ever had this before. I don't think it's just me, but like when you ever sense you're supposed to go do something, you sense the invitation of the Lord and you don't do it. And it's like this thing just gets bigger and bigger in your chest. And you feel like if you don't do it, you'll just explode. Am I the only weird one? Anybody else ever had that? Just raise your hand so I'm not the weird. Thank you. Yeah. So I was doing that right there. I'm like how, like is like I was just playing the game in my head. Like, man, maybe this is the last worship song. And then I was like, maybe they won't sing that chorus over and over and over again. Like, maybe they'll just be like done, like you can just finish and like, then I won't do it. And no, it's like, no. And I just felt that burning, burning, burning. It's like almost like an asteroid, I kind of explain it, in my chest. And so I said, all right. And so I stepped out of where I was. I was maybe 2/3 back and I, on the right side, so this side, I was right. And then I went down to the front. There was a column there and a guy was standing beside there and he was just singing and worshiping, so I felt kind of weird. I'm like, I don't want to like interrupt. Like, is that biblical? Like, I don't know. I didn't know better, but the Lord said, pray for the guy. And so I could either like stand back and be weird, like hover over the guy, or I could just say, hey, can I pray for you? And he was a young guy, and I just got in the front, and he said, yeah, sure. And I just put my hands on his shoulder, and I began to pray for him. and began to pray things. And I don't remember what I was praying, but just was flowing with what I felt like God was showing me. And then I opened my eyes. I closed them because I was scared to death. I didn't really want to be doing it, but I was just like, and I opened my eyes and I saw between us was this huge puddle of tears. And the worship music's still going on. It's loud. And so we're trying to talk. And he said, thank you. And he said, you have no idea what that meant to me. He said, I just found out that my son and the son's mother, they don't want me to see him anymore. And so I came here hoping that God would see me and somebody would connect with me. And I learned a powerful lesson that day. Man, it's great to hear the Lord. Man, I want you to hear the Lord. I want you to have big ears. I mean, like Dumbo ears. I want you to have ears to heaven. But what I learned in that moment is I would have missed the blessing, and that man would have missed the blessing if I just heard and kept it to myself. It says the blessing is in the what? Doing. Stepping out in faith and partnering with God. Taking action. So I feel like the Lord, even today, like the Lord is prompting us and asking us today, where have I asked you to step out in faith? Some of our friends this week, I was in conversations with, we got a family in Minnesota and a family in Pennsylvania. They are planning to move here just to be part of the church. And so they're having these conversations and they're stepping in faith and saying, Lord, here it is. I trust you. Amazing. Some of us in the room, like your marriage is struggling. And today you know the Lord has said, hey, go have a real conversation with your spouse, but you haven't done it. You've been sitting on the sidelines. And today the Lord's like, take a step of faith, do it. Some of you just need to go to somebody and say, hey, will you forgive me? I really messed up really bad. Others of us, man, maybe today you're like, man, I need to apply for that job that I felt like the Lord was giving me, like just kept raising up. And today you need to go online and actually take a step and apply to the thing that God told you to. Action. If we want to experience the ways of God and know the thoughts of God, we can't just sit around and say, God, what do you think? It's God, what do you think? Okay, let's go do it. Let's step with faith. And so I'm going to close this by just praying and giving a space for us to ask the Lord that question. God, what is it that I'm not taking action on that you have invited me to take action? So Lord Jesus, we thank you for the celebration today and baptism. We thank you for the unity that we've experienced by your Spirit, coming under the authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for this gathering, this community. And Lord, right now we just pause and we humble ourselves and we open up our ears, open up our spirit, man. And we ask the simple question, what have you invited us to step with you? What action have you invited us into that we haven't yet taken a step of faith? Just a simple question. Just ask the Lord. Let him bring things to mind. Hearing God is the path. Obedience is the gate to experiencing all that God has for you. You are blessed in the doing, hearing, and obedience. So if something came to mind for you, you're like, yeah, man, I felt like the Lord told me this week or this month, or maybe it's been years, and you just feel like the Lord's just putting his finger on this again. It's his kindness that's leading you to change your mind, to repent, to take action. So Lord, we don't want to just be hearers of your word. We want to be doers. Lord, we don't want to just know about your ways and your thoughts. We want to experience them on this earth as it is in heaven. And we say, Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you to be our guide, to be our teacher, to empower us, to lead us, to teach us the depths of who God really is and his ways. We just acknowledge today, Lord, we need you. We just confess it's humility. Like we need your wisdom and your insight. And Lord, may we not stop there, but may we step in trusting your guidance and your leadership. May we see transformation in our homes, in our parenting, in our communities, in our businesses, in our places of work, in our city. Because a group of people didn't just hear the Lord, they said yes and participated with the Lord. We bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'm going to invite our prayer team forward. If you felt something stirring in your heart or the Lord was bringing something to mind and maybe you need prayer and courage and community for us to partner with you, we'd love to invite you forward on that. So don't leave today if you are sensing, I just need prayer for this thing the Lord laid on my heart. We'd love to pray for you. And then I also want to invite you here tomorrow night. We're going to have our prayer time in our prayer room for healing. So if you need prayer for healing, have a family member, friend that you want to stand in for, whatever that looks like for you, we just invite you to come out tomorrow night for that prayer time. It's going to be incredible. And then last thing is we have our family lake day today at Doe River Gorge. So if you want to get your family together after lunch, join us there at 2:30. We've got the whole place rented out for our church family. You can bring your friends, families, neighbors. Don't have to be a part of CF, but it's going to be a fun day today. We'll see you there. Bye.